The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name, of course, is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today's date is June 21st, 2016. At least that's what millions of people on this side of the earth call it and refer to it. Also, it is a Tuesday afternoon. I've had my days kind of mixed up here over the past couple of days, not knowing what day it was. Woke up this morning thinking it was Wednesday and what have you, and it was not Wednesday, it was Tuesday. So I had gotten up and started on Wednesday's programming promo work for the website, and so just went ahead and say that work. So I'm ahead of the game, actually. All right, so I hope your week thus far is productive, that you're doing constructive things out there. Let's go ahead and just give you a brief overview of some of the things I want to talk about on today's program, and asking questions. But one of the things that really caught my eye, the article, I'm not going to say it went viral, but let's just say an article that I published with a video from a local source in New York about these cops getting busted, four high-level NYPD officers getting busted and the corruption associated with that. It was a big story for Black Talk Radio Network, okay, and some other major, I would say, corporate media sites out of New York, like New York Daily News. You expect them to cover something like that, of these cops with ties to Mayor de Blasio's fundraising apparatus and what have you, and Jewish businessmen being implicated in a scandal to bribe police officers for favors and what have you, breaking the law, if you will. And so that's been the number one story. But when I saw that story about the recent Supreme Court decision, I'm talking about the SCOTUS, which is what, just 8 members? I think there's supposed to be 9. I know there's supposed to be more than 8 because you need that one vote to break the deadlock in case there's a tie or what have you. So we got 8 SCOTUSes, and they were they rendered a legal decision, they so-called interpret the law of the land in these cases and what have you. So people are outraged, and rightly so, that illegally obtain evidence when a person basically just profiles you. And if you black, non-white, I don't have to tell you the statistics on racial profiling. We've gotten nothing but years and years of coverage of that, because black people been forcing the issue. So we get people then studying and doing all this and that. So we know racial profiling is a problem. So Basically, in a nutshell, what they ruled was that if a officer, let's say you're walking down the street in New York, where stop and frisk was ruled unconstitutional, but let's say they just stopped you because you was walking while black. Now, that's unconstitutional. When they had to get a probable cause to stop you, detain you, search you, and anything contraband, anything they deemed illegal for you to have, if they find anything, then they base the criminal charges off of what they found. But if it was illegally obtained, they didn't have a lawful or, let's say, constitutional reason to stop you according to the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, they threw out any evidence that was found that they're going to use to put you into slavery. All right, so mostly it's involving drugs, and this is involving drugs described as methamphetamine or something like that. I'm tending to think it's something like whatever that is that these white people down here in the South is really, really hooked on, where they're cooking that stuff up using Sudafed and I forget the name of the drug, but I think it's a case involving that, where a guy was profiled by a cop. They determined that, yeah, he was unlawfully stopped, but we still used the evidence we found to put him into slavery. And so a lot of, let's just say, those who lean left in their politics have been outraged, and rightly so, raising up the police state issue and tying it to mass incarceration, which, of course, we know is more correctly called modern-day slavery. Prison slavery, if you want to add that caveat to it. And they're raising that issue and saying, oh, how could you do this? And they're presenting some arguments, but at the same time, I can see, just off my cursory reading of the decision, that, let's say, for example, you stop somebody and they do have something like, let's say, something like child pornography or something like that, okay? And so right there, you know, is it justice that this person doesn't get held responsible for possessing that child pornography, and because he was profiled and illegally stopped? So we do have to look at both sides of the issue. It's not wise to react emotionally one way or the other. However valid your emotionalism might be, your emotionalism might be based on some very solid legal grounds and facts. But also consider the other side of the argument, and then consider the victims of other crimes in our community. And so it's not something that should be taken lightly. So if you got any thoughts on that, we'd love to hear them. Would definitely love to hear them. Now, Yvette Carnell, who is an independent black media producer, publisher of Breaking Brown. You will also see her and associated with the media properties of Boyce Watkins, another independent black media producer. Breaking Brown, I think, does the black community service with the stories that they report on. But she made a personal Facebook post, and it's related to this Supreme Court decision, and she says that, and I quote, "As the Supreme Court guts the Fourth Amendment and normalizes the practices that lead to mass incarceration, LeBron James is trending on Facebook." Now, let's not read too much into that, because, you know, that's just a blurb on social media. And LeBron James is trending on Facebook, but that don't mean she hating on LeBron James. She will have to elaborate further, like, you know, because people will hate LeBron James because they say, you know, man, it should be trending that this Supreme Court decision gives more power to slave catchers. You know, that's my cursory opinion of it thus far. It does give slave catchers more power, more incentive. I think Justice Sotomayor was correct on how these slave catchers are going to interpret this ruling and what have you. And so I think it will lead to an increase in slavery while these people talking about trying to reform it, you know. So, but you know, it's not LeBron James, who did make sports history. All right, sports have always throughout history had an impact on world affairs. You look at whether, you know, we look at Joe Louis and how he was used as propaganda, but also stood as an example of black manhood. Okay, black men, black self-respect, the Brown Bomber, Joe Louis, and the fights he had during World War II. Jesse Owens, you know, when you got this racist Nazi cracker over there in Germany who learned all he knew from the Americans and their ideologies and studies and practices and eugenics and what have you. But when he was over there proclaiming the so-called Aryan superhuman race, and then here comes Jesse Owens, all of that, sports does matter. It does matter. It can be used as propaganda. It can be used as inspiration to the downtrodden who have been taught all their lives that they're inferior. And we know people infected with that inferiority gene, whether it's a gene, as I think about some of our interviews here in the past couple of weeks, or, you know, if it's just a matter of mental psychology. They've been taught to believe that they are inferior. So sports plays a role. So, you know, Cleveland as a sports town hasn't won any major professional championship since Jim Brown. You know, let's talk about Jim Brown and how he backed Muhammad Ali, who recently passed away, when he said, "Hell no, I won't go. Ain't no Vietnamese ever called me nigger." And I'm paraphrasing, you know, the story. But it was black male athletes that stood behind Muhammad Ali in a press conference publicly. Some of them said because they knew he was sincere and he wasn't just trying to dodge the draft. And these are valid concerns. You calling us niggers, you practicing segregation, you're practicing racism, you're practicing terrorism, you know, and then you want to send us off overseas to kill other non-white people who are not doing any of that to us here on this land, but you want us to go fight and die. And so again, sports. So Cleveland has not won a championship, and of course Jim Brown was in the NFL, and that's the last time they won a major sports championship was in 1964 with Jim Brown, who used his celebrity to, you know, promote the cause of justice and to point out the injustices of racism and white supremacy. So people want to play down the impact of sports and what have you. And I'm not saying Yvette Carneal in any way is saying all these things, but I listen, I observe, you know, all forms of media. Being a former athlete, I do take an interest in sports. But at the same time, I take an interest in analyzing how racism is practiced through sports media. So, I mean, but there are several reasons why LeBron James is trending on Facebook. When you break down, if we're talking about online activities, if you break down the largest demographic of Twitter users is black, you often may have even heard the term black Twitter. Okay, I'm not sure, somebody can look it up, but the percentage of black people using Facebook, and I'm just talking about black Americans, black people here in USA Inc. within its borders and what have you, not even talking about, you know, worldwide, but just us. I don't know what that percentage is of Facebook users, but I know it's contributing to the trending. And the Fourth Amendment ain't trending. Okay, slavery is not trending. None of that is trending. So she raised a valid concern. She asked, you know, she makes a statement, really. She's not asking a question, but she's making a statement. She's just reporting. LeBron James is trending on Facebook while the Supreme Court just gutted the Fourth Amendment. That, you know, let's not read too much into it without being able to get her to elaborate. But it does produce a question. So, she's an independent black media producer. I'm an independent black media producer. I certainly raise these issues, and other people on Black Talk Radio Network raise these political, legal, issues. But of course, we don't attract 1 million unique visitors a month, like some of the 4 major news online news organizations identified as news sources in a Pew Research study that we're going to take a look at. And so I just, I'm going to make a video. I started to make the video, but I had other work to do on the computer. So I didn't make the video, but I'm going to give a visual representation, making a video where you can see my screen as I check the websites, the black websites. I've already looked at it, so I know the answers and whatnot. All right. And so what contributes to what black people are talking about in social media online contribute, you have to look at where are they getting their sources of information, what is the media talking about that targets black people. And of all the media that targets black people, only 4 of them are classified solely as a news site. And I wouldn't classify them solely as a news site because I guess it's entertainment news. It's entertainment news. If they got a celebrity news section like that, my standards are high if you're going to call yourself strictly a news site. I'm not saying that things shouldn't be reported on what black people are doing in the entertainment industry. If it's stories focusing on, like LeBron James, for example, guaranteeing all kids who go through the LeBron James Foundation program and graduate from high school get a guaranteed tuition-free scholarship to Akron University, which is in the city where he was born. He's coming out of his pocket. He convinced Akron, I guess, to give him a bulk discount, and I don't know the details of how they worked that out. But if you're talking about that kind of celebrity news, we need that kind of celebrity news, because there's a lot of celebrity that are providing resources and doing things that would not get done if they didn't do them. I mean, we just went through a primary on the Democratic side, a primary process where we even heard huge numbers of black people say that free tuition at public colleges and universities isn't something that's worth fighting for. And they ridiculed it, saying, again, I don't blame the people. Again, I'm pointing you to the sources. Malcolm X said it. And you may not want to accept it. I didn't want to think it was that easy. But it has proven out in the 8 years that I've been paying attention since I seen the video Malcolm X saying the American news media can control the minds of the masses. His other quote, he says, it's the most powerful entity on the face of the planet because it controls the minds of the masses. So if you want to know why sometimes LeBron James is trending, even though this is a unique moment in sports history, a lot of people pay attention to sports. I'm glad they do. I'm glad LeBron's getting all that attention. Like I posted on Facebook before Game 7, even though Steph Curry's a homeboy, even though he played basketball on the same course around here, that basketball's kind of big here in North Carolina. All right, and even though he's my homeboy, I'm pulling for LeBron James because of that's going to mean more money in his bank account that he has shown through his foundation work, from what I've heard from firsthand from people running programs in Akron, like we had the executive director from Alchemy Inc. on the African Center Black Male and Boys Black men, young men and boys mentor group, and they benefiting from the resources being provided by LeBron James in that city. The dude is paying for a lot. Things that many city governments and municipalities are cutting, like parks and recreation And, you know, we can't keep this gym open or this tennis court open. And the kids have nothing to do in terms of exercising, which Michelle Obama, by the way, says is very important. She started a campaign called the Let's Move campaign. And it is. But if we don't upkeep, you know, pay for the upkeep of these things, update them, upgrade them, what have you, you know, somebody's got to pay for it. And a lot of times nobody steps up unless it's a celebrity or athlete. So, but I asked that question, and I will go through in terms of getting back to what Yvette Carnell was talking about, the very important SCOTUS decision. You know, when I went to these black news websites identified in last year's Pew Research study on black media, you know, they said 13 sites garnered 1 million or more monthly unique visitors, but only four of which are dedicated to news. That's The Root, News One, The Griot, and Huffington Post Black Voices. And I linked to those. So, is The Root, News One, The Griot, and Huffington Post Black Voices talking about this, or do they have a story, and is it on the front page of this recent, very impactful Supreme Court decision on giving slave catchers, in a nutshell, more power to put you into slavery? I'm looking at both sides of this, but ultimately that's how it's going to be used, though. That's how it's going to be used. I think if a person is in possession of pornography, whether they were profiled or not, if they are in possession of that, well, you know, then even if that search is illegal, then I guess law enforcement could respond by, okay, before we go to his house, after we've searched his vehicle and found this, or her house, before we do that, let's go ahead and get a bench warrant or get a warrant from the magistrate to search his house. Then it's not an illegal search, and you don't have to use the evidence from the illegal search in the car, because you know if they got it in their car, they're going to have it in their home, it's going to be on their computer and all of that. So again, you know, it's not something to just brush off lightly one way or the other. There's many ways to look at these issues and think about the good of the community. But at the end of the day, I know this country was founded on slavery. Slavery is a main pillar of the economic pillar or the economy of USA Inc. And, you know, I know how many jobs are generated off of slavery. And so at the end of the day, whether they profile me because I'm walking while I'm black, walking while I'm brown, walking while I don't speak English, even though they profile me and they, let's say, find over the limit of how much ever cannabis you have in your backpack or something, like I seen a dude got life in prison and he didn't even have it on his possession, but on him, but nothing but a QP, was known as a QP, a quarter pound of this plant. Put him in jail for life in prison. So if they find you with a QP, even though they racially profiled you, didn't have no reason to stop you, all right, this Supreme Court decision says they can still use that QP to put you and make a slave of you for life. That's not justice. It's not justice. So lots of ways to look at this. Also, contributing to the fact that LeBron James is trending is when we get nonsense articles being published, especially on what H-Rap Brown would call white people's press, CBS Radio, ESPN, ABC, all that's white people's press. While they may have some black people working for them or being showcased as writers or talking heads or whatnot, we cannot classify that. We have to be, what I'm saying is, we have to be, we should scrutinize everything, but really when it's coming from people you have identified as producing stuff that's harmful to black people, We have to be very skeptical and analyze. Even when a black person writes an article on one of their platforms and promotes something to black people, and whether or not we want to, as they would say, give our energy to it without checking the facts or anything. But anyway, this writer by the name of Jamila Hill, I've seen her on Sports Center, I think, or whatever one of those ESPN channels is, and looked her up, and she has a history of journalism, basically. I was like, I wonder if she ever played a sport. Was she one of those that played in WNBA or played it in college? Because that's usually who they give those positions to. But it appears that she strictly went to school. I didn't see any sports background in her history, but she went for journalism. But she got her break coming out of college in sports radio at a TV station, I think in Michigan, if I'm not mistaken. Might have even been on a Detroit station. So she's been reporting, never actually played competitively or whatnot. But with all of that said, she's saying she's never seen the open disrespect of other players like she's seen the disrespect of LeBron James, and suggesting that this is because black men are mistreating him because he light-skinned. Now, she said this on a blog, on a podcast. She said this on a podcast, but it was picked up by, and it was a podcast on ESPN, one of them shows or something produced by them. But then picked up by CBS, and they wrote about it, and they're promoting the angle that black people are mistreating each other. You know, Steph has, she's never, a black person is saying that she's never seen Steph mistreated by other NBA players, quote unquote, we know, black men, like he's been mistreated and what have you. Look, I've been watching NBA since the 1970s when Dr. J was still playing and what have you. I remember, you know, because the adults around me would have it on television, and I always took interest in it. And they, you know, I seen this in a movie scene. But I felt the same way in this movie scene. I forget the name of the movie, but this little white girl is watching a basketball game on television, and Bruce Willis is playing her father. I can't remember the name of the thing. And she says, look, Daddy, they're flying. And, you know, the men jumping through the air and dunking, and it looks like to a child that is flying. Anybody who has played sports, basketball competitively like I have, okay, obviously did not break through to the professional level, but played some semi-pro talent in summer leagues, also in the military. A person who in his prime, in his 20s, you know, could put his elbow in the rim at 6'2", 6'2½, and it feels like when you're dunking a ball, like you're flying. So I've been, you know, when I was a little child, that's what attracted me to the NBA. It looked like the dude, Dr. J, was flying. These are human beings. How can human beings fly like that? And why is it mostly that it's the black men that have this superhuman ability to fly and what have you? So that, you know, and that's how long I've been watching basketball. And I am not saying that there haven't been black men in the NBA mistreating each other, because I read a story about Michael Jordan mistreating his teammates, and Scottie Pippen. Was Michael Jordan picking on Scottie Pippen because Scottie Pippen light-skinned, as Jamil Hill in this piece seems to suggest, that other players in the NBA targeting Steph Curry because he light-skinned? I mean, this is just nonsense. And it is part of, this is one of the stories that's a distraction from the Supreme Court decision. I mean, but I'm not one of those that typically say something like that. You can walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. I don't know, you know, how fast it takes you to read an article or something like that. But, you know, it doesn't take a very long time to consume information into the brain. It just depends on your literacy levels. Speaking of Michael Jordan, I don't know if he's been hearing about me dogging him out for his legacy of not contributing to the community, because I am a reporter. It has been reported he's donating $500,000 to Charlotte organizations on literacy programs. So I was like, because that's something that was being stated around here on sports talk radio and in the papers and whatnot, is the legacy of LeBron James versus Mr. Jordan. Jordan won 6 NBA championships straight. He's the best ever in this and that. And then versus LeBron, who's been the 6 straight, and he's like 3-3. But in my view, I look at these men. Yeah, we can look at the basketball ability, and I get an edge to LeBron on just the ability and physical stature and all of that. But what really, if we want to talk about legacies, the legacy that will live on long after LeBron is gone is these children that he have put on the path to college, that will graduate from college, who will go on to do great things, we hope, but be in a better position to overcome the obstacles that are put in front of disadvantaged youth, whether because of socioeconomic reasons or because of racism and what have you. That's how you leave a lasting legacy. So, you know, these are some of the things I want to discuss with you, but I'm going to take a station identification break. We'll be on for the next 30 minutes or more. It depends on caller participation. Can't hold up the program, but we'll also, when we come back on the other side of the break, just go over some brief news items of some news I think you should know about. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting on the Black Talk Radio Network, a digital radio station bringing you new black media for the new millennium.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back again. This is Black Talk Radio News. Let me give out the telephone numbers if you would like to chime in, which I will do after I just briefly run down some of the news that you'll find on the social media properties, like our Facebook page, Black Talk Radio Network, our Twitter page, at Black Talk Radio. We're not really that active on Twitter, except for if when we have live programming coming on the platform, whether it's an independent station also podcasting and utilizing Black Talk Radio Network, or whether it's being produced by the official, you know, station that's managed by Black Talk Media Project. You get that. You never miss a program, upcoming program, if you follow us on Twitter. All right. So the telephone number, conference line, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. There's that web-based flash phone that you can choose to use as well from anywhere in the world. The studio line is also open, 704-951-5030. Before we go to the line, I do see the caller in queue. Before we go to the callers, let me just give a brief rundown. First, let me share some network news with you. Change Matters Solutions published their fourth podcast on the network today. That's, again, you can find blacktalkradionetwork.com, following us on social media as well. And but they will be coming live to this specific station on July the 5th. It is Kenny Hendricks and Colette Williams, who are the host of this program, Brother and Sister Team. And so check out that podcast. Looking forward to them breaking into the live programming. It'll be coming on, if I'm not mistaken, pretty much in the morning if you're in the West Coast, and so in the afternoon, early afternoon here on the East Coast, and you know the time in for those in between. So yeah, Dark Matters Radio, which is a program that comes on Monday nights at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, also just wrapped up his 4th live broadcast. He started off with a live broadcast. I am very intrigued by that program. The information that he shared, if you didn't hear that program last night, you need to go check out that podcast where he talked about, did the slave trade really happen, the African slave trade really happen, what is the so-called African American or Black American, and what do we mean when we use these terms, why are these terms being used, but just the whole history and much of the stuff of the indigenous history that he talked about last night. You know, I'm just saying to myself, man, you just confirming everything I've been putting out on Facebook and what I've been researching in terms of the indigenous history right here in the state of North Carolina, what's known as the state of North Carolina, and the wider civilization as known as mound builders. He was talking about mound builders. Okay, I posted, you know, diagrams, photos, if you will, graphics and what have you, links to research, backing up, you know, that there was a civilization that existed here for thousands of years before Europeans came here. And that, like he said last night, and I had said on Facebook months ago, that these so-called cities that they have all dotted up the East Coast, in the South, all the way going to Florida or the Rocky Mountain areas, those cities are built on towns and villages that were indigenous towns and villages that were already there, trading posts and what have you. The waterways were already here. The Mississippi was already here. People were traveling by water. You know, here in North Carolina, you got the Catawba River that, you know, all these tributaries and whatnot. There was culture and civilization here known as mound builders, Black people, melanated people. I mean, y'all really need to hear that program. So man, I'm about to just tell you everything. So man, really loving that show, hosted by Ronnie McLean, broadcasting from the wilderness of Canada. So check that out. Again, that's every Monday night at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. You can check out this podcast at any time. Again, that's Dark Matter Radio. Dark Matter Radio. All right. Some quick news, story shared. We're just for the sake of time, I'm going to share some stuff I shared on my personal. Well, no, let's not do personal. Let's do Black Talk Radio Network stuff that was shared there. Okay, what do we have here? The LGBT gun right group sees membership skyrocket after Orlando shooting. Okay, that seems like a totally logical response to me. Quick excerpt, Dylan West says the Pink Pistols Gun Club in Atlanta has been stagnant group since he joined a year ago, but that's all changed now. The gun club for LGBT people has roughly doubled in size to 230 members, following this month's nightmarish shooting at an Orlando gay nightclub that left 49 dead and 53 injured. There's always been a necessity for self-defense in the LGBT community, says West, who grew up in Alabama surrounded by guns. You can read the rest of that story right there, Black Talk Radio Network. The Congressional Black Caucus, which is full of superdelegates, are fighting reform efforts to eliminate superdelegates from the nomination process for future elections in the Democratic Party. And they oppose opening up the primary voting to unaffiliated registered voters. Are they attempting to? And they are suggesting that minorities, quote unquote, benefit from the superdelegates. Listen, I heard Donna Brazile, for those people, you know, in our listening audience that do tune in, pay attention to politics, and they know, can name, you know, major players, people getting, you know, showcased and getting paid to be showcased, or whether they shot callers, depending upon their level on the food chain in this crooked system. But Donna Brazile is a longtime Democratic strategist, whatnot. I believe she once ran for office, if not held office, but it was like a long time ago. She came in, I think, if I'm my memory serves me correct, she came in with the Clintons, you know, and really blew up since there. And I remember seeing her months ago about saying how she loves the superdelegate process, because she's a superdelegate, and they superdelegates are going to get shown some love, 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 is how she put it. Like, you know, like they're going to be feeding her some banana pudding or you know, whatever she considers to be love or what have you. But that's how she said it. It was on video. It was on CNN and what have you. And so now we see the Congressional Black Caucus full of superdelegates, the majority of which sided with the Clinton machine before one single vote was cast. So they are in my opinion, exploiting the mass black public by saying, you know, oh, this superdelegate process is about empowering you. It's not, you know, this is for you. It benefits you, you know, because like without the Democrat, if we didn't have this superdelegate status in the Democratic Party, then guess what? We wouldn't have been able to prevent all that mass incarceration that was going on in the 1990s, all that cutting of the welfare, social safety net, all that shifting of the money to the private prison. We didn't have that superdelegate status in the Democratic Party. We wouldn't have had no influence on the Clintons or the Democrats. Party's policy, which obviously you need Democrats to pass that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Oh, wait a minute. You didn't stop that kind of stuff. Let me move on. Don't want to stay too long on that. The Department of Justice will not file charges in the death of Kendrick Johnson. That was the young man in Georgia high school whose body was found allegedly rolled up in a mat. Ligature marks around his neck, other injuries. You know, there was a number of autopsies done on this, but the official story is suicide or accidental asphyxiation or something. What he wants us to believe, what they want us to believe, someone wants us to believe, is that this kid dropped his shoe in a rolled up mat in the gym. All right, that was next to, let's say, the, you know, in the basketball gym, next to these stands that, you know, they roll out or can push back in and whatnot. And so he dropped his shoe in there, and he was trying to get it, and he fell in there, and then he was unable to get out. And I guess all the other people in there, nobody saw him fall in there, and nobody heard him screaming for help or anything like that. And then he wasn't discovered until hours later. So that's the official line. So the Department of Justice did an investigation, and they will not file charges in the death of Kendrick Johnson. So you shouldn't be surprised by that. All right, I did post on Facebook, the U.S. Supreme Court just declared open slave catching season in the U.S., and that is kind of the main topic of what we'll be talking about here today. Last one, 3 NYPD, but I've updated this story. This was a story with generated little attention, published on Black Talk Radio Network, I believe yesterday or day before yesterday, but I've updated it from 3 NYPD slave catchers to 4 NYPD slave catchers with ties to the NYC mayor were busted in an FBI corruption sting. So that's some of the news that I thought was share worthy with those who follow us on social media and look to get information and news from us. So without further delay, let's go to the phone line. Okay, we lost the caller. If you want to chime back in, just hit star 6 and 1 And I will check the board and you can call, get your comments on air. All right, so let's go ahead and untangle this web, and I'm going to go over the usual hour that I go, because, you know, this is serious stuff that, and it demands it. So I chose to link to the New York Times article. Supreme Court says police may use evidence found after illegal stops. That's the headline that the editors at New York Times chose for this story. Excuse me. Says the Supreme Court ruled Monday, so that was yesterday, that evidence found by police officers after illegal stops. So this is your stops and frisks. This is your driving while black, driving while Hispanic, what have you, may be used in court if the officers conducted their searches after learning that defendants had outstanding arrest warrants. Now, that right there tells me all I need to know. But they go on to talk about a little more. But let me stop it there. And you know, that really told me all I needed to know. And let me tell you why. They're not saying that the evidence found, let's say, again, use the same example. I'm walking down the street while black. This cop thinks all black people smoke weed, and not just 13% of the estimated 40 million, was small number comparatively, no different than white folks. But they think all black people smoke weed or whatnot, or what, or going to have some contraband on them or illegal drugs. And, you know, we're just going to base it on race, even though the statistics show it's more likely that white people, or those classified as white, are carrying those type of things. So, but we're just doing it because we're racist, and slavery, and, you know, the way we hooked it up in the 1600s was to target Africans, you know, primarily, only, you know, for a while. And then when we changed it to prison slavery, well, if poor white folks, landless white folks get caught up in it, then so be it. But we're targeting black people, though. That's what we're going to target. So, you know, if they target you for that, they do that, they do the search. Let's say in New York, you know, I've got a backpack, and they find a QP, a quarter pound of cannabis in my sack. All right. Now, if I had an outstanding warrant and they hold me on that, and I had an outstanding warrant, I didn't pay some fines, I missed a court date on a driving while no, you know, with no license, whatever, there's a bench warrant out for me, that the evidence can be used if it turns out you are wanted by the slave catchers to begin with. So they can use that. That's basically what it's saying. It is not saying, based off of my layman's understanding and reading comprehension of what they've been saying, is it's not saying that if you stop me while I'm black, like they did one of my cousins in New York, and asked to search my car, and I tell you no, and there's no evidence, nothing in plain sight to think I got illegal contraband in my car, and I say, no, officer, you cannot search my car with my permission. You must get a warrant or what. And they order you out the car anyway and detain you. And then, you know, later they lie about they saw something, and then they may even plant the drugs like they did my cousin, you know. But when he took it to court, his attorney was able to prove they violated his Fourth Amendment rights. They did not have probable cause. They did not have permission. And they threw it out. This recent Supreme Court decision does not nullify that, unless my cousin had a bunch of tickets or any kind of outstanding bench warrant, whether it was for failure to pay child support, or, you know, they don't really get you with that because you ain't supposed to be putting people into slavery over debt according to the Constitution. So the workaround is to, well, you violated this court order to pay this amount of child support on such and such date, and now you're behind, so we're issuing a warrant for your arrest. That's why Walter Scott in Georgia fled. That's why he ran, because he knew it was a warrant. He knew it was a warrant out for his arrest, and they were going to take him to the slave holding pen till they figured out, you know, what they were going to do with him. So this is a tricky decision and what have you. Justice Clarence Thomas wrote for the majority in the 5-3 decision, and they're saying that he said such searches do not violate the Fourth Amendment when the warrant is valid and unconnected to the conduct that prompted the stop. Now, I can see other lawyers on the other side, if I was a defense attorney, arguing that, well, you wouldn't even knew it was a warrant on him if you didn't illegally profile him and stop him to begin with. So the whole all the evidence should be thrown out. So that seems to be disagreement here between the justices, and I always err on the side of more liberty and justice for the people, because I don't think it's just, and I think you're infringing upon the liberties of people when you put them into slavery for a substance that you decided, they didn't decide, they didn't have a vote in the matter, not directly, but you decided to outlaw certain substances in the, you know, name of for the public good. But as it turns out, you ain't doing no public good, and you're doing the public more harm. And ultimately, what you're doing is practicing slavery. So I err on that side. But then again, like I said at the beginning of the program, but what if it's somebody in your community and they got a trunk full of child pornography DVDs and they selling it out the trunk of their car? You know what I'm saying? And they profile this dude. Let's say, let me use an example of something that happened to me. Like my insurance lapsed one time on my, I had a, not a Trans Am. I had a Camaro, a Chevrolet Camaro. I had a RS Camaro. I forget the year it was, but, you know, hot rod. This car would fly, attracts attention and whatnot. And so anyway, my insurance had lapsed, right? Struggling to put the bills together, whatever. You know, or mismanage some money, whatever. I was late paying my insurance, and by the time it got updated in the system, it was too late. I was profiled when I pulled up in my sweet sports cars that especially like white boys like around here, and I pull into a gas station in Charlotte. There's a white cop sitting right there in the parking lot. Looked like he just got through writing somebody a ticket. I go into the store. I purchase some sodas for myself and for my passengers. And I come back out, and we head towards wherever it was we were going. I was going to that person's home, drop them off. All right, not even a half a mile away. This cop gets behind me. I'm not speeding, anything like that. Puts the blue lights on me, pulls me over. It says, did you know your tags was expired or your insurance had lapsed or something like that? And I was like, I just told the truth. I don't be lying, man. White, little wise, sometimes, man, come on. I knew, whatever, accept the consequences. Yes, I know, but I just paid it and it just ain't been updated in the system. So, if you won't give me a warning, that's cool. Or if you won't give me a ticket, I'm just cooperative. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I'm very cooperative, yes, sir, no, sir, all of that, hoping this dude don't, get me off with a warning or whatnot. Oh, yeah, you're not like one of those stereotypical Negroes we see portrayed on Fox News. You using words like, sir, I'm just going to let you give you a slave pass and let you go without taking money from you by giving you a ticket or checking to see if you got any warrants and putting you in a jail, So if they had, this guy had found some drugs in my car, or he ain't even asked to do a search or nothing like that. He ain't take it there because I already disarmed him with, my language and put him at ease and what have you, But anyway, let's just say he had then and stopped me from running my tags. And then let's say, like a dummy, I got a quarter sack a QP sitting in the back seat of my car in a backpack, but it's open and he can see it through the back window when he walks up to the car. So, you know, even though he profiled me, which I determined later when I asked the judge when I went to take care of the ticket, which they basically dismissed, and I had to pay $180 for the cost of court and, you know, take, you know, lose time, and money is time, time is money. And I said, well, you know, why did he stop me? Yes, my insurance lapsed. Here's my insurance card. Here's, you know, the payment. She dismissed it. But may I ask you this, Judge? Yes, you can ask. Why did he stop me in the first place? Why did he run my tag? Was there a APB, all points, a bulletin out for a stolen white Camaro driven by some black person or something? I didn't give an indication of race. Everybody can see I'm black, you know. And then, you know, she couldn't answer the question. And I heard him get mad and slap his little clipboard against his side. And I heard a brother in the back of the courtroom say, yeah, that's right, you know. And I went and paid $180 and left. Now, but if they'd have found drugs on me, you know, what they're saying is that even though there was no reason for him, no constitutional reason, no evidence of crime, no probable cause that my car was stolen, for him to do what he did and all of that was illegal, he can stay, and they dismiss the charges, right? They get you on paying the court costs. So technically, I was found innocent, you know, technically, because they dismissed it because he really didn't have probable cause. But, you know, if they'd have found drugs on me, they'd have had to throw that out prior to this Supreme Court decision. Whereas what I think they're saying now is that, well, it don't matter that he racially profiled you and was probably trying to fill a quota ticket in writing. You know, his quota of tickets he got to write. And he found the drugs, so he going to use it even though all of this was illegal. That's what they're saying. So at the end of the day, this is going to lead to more people in what? Slavery. More people in slavery. It's that simple. Let's go to the phone lines, area code 414. Thank you for calling in Black Talk Radio News. Go ahead with your question or comment. 414, if you can unmute.
Hello. Sorry about that. I have myself muted.
That's okay. Yes, we hear you.
Okay. Thanks for taking the call. Removed myself from the queue. I didn't know if you was going to be on longer than an hour or not. But thanks for bringing me back in. I just wanted to comment on that light-skinned, dark-skinned thing first, which you was talking about. I agree that it was a complete distraction during the finals. I've seen something that ESPN was holding, like, during pregame, where they was like have some former players go to like a playground and was asking would things be different if Steph was dark-skinned and if Draymond was light-skinned and that whole sort of thing right there. And I didn't know about the Supreme Court ruling until you mentioned it. And just looking at the playoffs in general, like this time around I realized how much the ball games are a distraction. And I wanted to present a piece of news. I didn't know if maybe you touched on it already or in the previous days, but I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and BBC did a report on Milwaukee the other day about race in America, and was kind of talking about the two different Milwaukees and just how excuse my language, how fucked up it is here for black people. And you know, it stood out to me because I saw that on World Star. You understand what I'm saying? And
yeah,
you know, I'm really feeling the pressure of being in Milwaukee. You know, I've been saying this, like, what the news is talking about, and you know, Milwaukee being in the public light right now, I've been telling people this maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago because I've been feeling it. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a point now, Scotty, where this shit is driving me crazy, and I think I'm just about hopeless in here. Thank you for taking the call.
All right. Well, sorry to hear that. And you've long been a listener. Let me clear the queue anytime you want to chime back in.
Q&A queue is cleared.
Just hit *6 and 1. But you've given us reports from Milwaukee. You've chimed in when we reported stories about Milwaukee County in Wisconsin. For those that don't know what we're talking about, definitely have reported it on the aspect of the sheriff there, who white people's media likes to showcase as being the person in charge. What's his name? Let me ask you that question again. Man, I've forgotten his name. Joe something. What's his name?
Sheriff David Clark.
David Clark. Thank you for reminding me. And that's what's the whole sorry aspect, or really sad to me, is that this is being reported as one of the worst places to be as a black male in the United States in terms of slave catching, interaction with slave catchers, and being targets of the slave catchers. And all the white people got, the white supremacists got to do is point to Joe Clark and say, no, this is a black man. See, he's the sheriff. People elected him sheriff, and he's just saying the same thing that we say. He blaming black people. He's saying it's their problem, or they're anything but the system that's targeting them. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's sad. And so my question to you, you say you saw this documentary. What aspect how much time they spend revealing his role in the system of white supremacy in Milwaukee County?
David Clark, man, it was only like a short little maybe 5-minute video.
Okay.
And David Clark really didn't come up in the video, man. They was really just talking about the basically how good it is for white people and how bad it is for black people.
Are we talking economics, or are we talking about
economics? No, I'm talking about the difference in the neighborhood.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Like the gentrification process here is real ill.
So they didn't touch on the world leading slavery that's happening in Milwaukee County?
Man, nah, they really was touching on what did they talk about? I don't remember word for word, but they talked about how racist the lending policy's been here, and how black people not having access to capital has led us to basically being trapped in these neighborhoods, man. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Man, I feel like I'm dying and I don't have a way out. I have health insurance and I'm suffering through an injury. And after reading Medical Apartheid by Harriet A. Washington, I now have a better understanding of what my life means here. And it ain't good, man. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't see anything changing.
Right. But definitely not going to change if we don't produce the action that'll bring about the change. You know what I'm saying? It's like physics, man. You know, there's supposed to be this physics law that says for every action, there is an opposing, you know, action. Mm-hmm. and what have you. Well, you know, if the opposing action the opposing action to this unstoppable force that's coming, let's just call it slavery, racism, white supremacy, you know, that's an unstoppable force. I can't say that black people or anybody who's against slavery and racism being an immovable object. It's like we're the movable object and they just keep rolling us right down the hill like unstoppable. Is that what you're talking about, that kind of feeling?
Yeah, and then let me add this little tidbit. My youngest daughter, I have a 3-year-old daughter, my youngest daughter, her mom is a school teacher. And, you know, I'm getting firsthand reports on what's happening to our babies. You understand what I'm saying? And how they're coming for our babies. And analyzing that, you know, the babies are playing out this garbage on the radio and the TV. We sitting back watching TV. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning here on a regular station. Now, I'm 35 years old, okay? Born in 81, 80s baby. So I came up in the 90s. You understand what I'm saying? And if I wanted to see girls late night shaking their behind, I had to watch cable and or, you know, go through some other type of outlet. Man, this shit is coming on regular TV.
Regular TV, terrestrial TV, as they would say.
Regular TV, wow. Man. And what's the messed up part about it is they have these, they show the sponsors. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you got these white lawyers. You have like one of the biggest black barbershop in the city of Milwaukee behind this bullshit. And I don't know what to do.
When you say behind it, you're
honestly
talking about.
Listen, man, people do not want to hear anything about race. You understand what I'm saying? Man, especially in this city, the people that I'm surrounded by, the minute you bring up race and or take a stance against these pagan white supremacist holidays, you crazy, you radical. What's wrong with that nigga?
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And man, I just don't know what to do. Mm. And I am fed
well
up
to do.
And I feel,
well, what to do is to hold on, man, and to just, you know what I'm saying? You in a war. This is a long war, whatnot. And, you know, even in the military, they give you what's called R&R, rest and relaxation, because you get stressed out in the war. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, that stress can turn into physical problems. It could turn into emotional problems, and it could lead you to suicide, as we know that a lot of soldiers coming back with PTSD have high rates of suicide. So what I'm saying to you is that you cannot do that. Don't do the white supremacist job for him or whatever, but do whatever you need to do to get some rest and relaxation, even if that means turning off Black Talk Radio for a while, because we do report a lot on this, and just recharging your battery for a week, man. Just turn off the TV. Just don't pay attention to nothing until you can recharge your batteries and get back into the war. Not telling you to ignore it, but I'm just telling you.
I'm saying like this,
it's stress, man.
I'll take child support. It ain't no room for no rest and relaxation, Scotty. Honestly, like, man, you know.
No, when I say rest and relaxation,
let me say this.
Okay.
Man, when they talk about the new slave, man, mm-hmm. when they talk about how our neighborhood was chemical warfare was released on our neighborhood, man, I'm that child that the crackhead had.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? And I'm fucked up about it.
Mm. Mm. Bro, it sounds like you really do need somebody on the ground there, a support group, and I understand what you said about you can't talk
no,
to
ain't
nobody
no help out here.
With about
man,
racism.
Man, we left in this motherfucker, man, by ourselves, man.
Wow.
And I just don't know what to do. You understand? I just don't know what to fucking do.
Well, it's hard. I can't tell you what to do, all right? But what I can tell you is what not to do is to do anything that you know would be unconstructive and just lead to worse circumstances for yourself. You don't want to harm yourself. Look, bro, I've been where you at. I actually took a whole bunch of aspirin one time when I thought that these racist white supremacists through the courts was going to take my daughters from me, all right, that I had asked for a divorce from my wife, filed for custody, and not only were they going to deny me and flip it and make it look like she initiated this legal action and make me the defendant, whereas before I was the plaintiff, look, dog, they were trying to say I did something nasty to my babies. Okay, to my daughters. All right, this is how those white supremacists and this vicious white woman of an attorney got down with me through the midst of that. All right, listen, I've been on the lowest lows. I've been on the lowest lows, having people think you would harm your own children, and nobody knowing the truth but the people involved, and then people knowing like this white supremacist attorney, man, knowing this was working with CPS, to try to set a brother up for sexually molesting his own children, and ignoring the fact that I hadn't even seen my own children in over a year, okay, because they were ignoring the court order I had for my visitation every weekend, not every other weekend, every weekend until this thing was settled. So imagine the pressure that I was feeling from the economic side, having to work, all right, giving this attorney all my money except for $50 to give my dad to live in a room in his house in Charlotte, okay? But everything else going to an attorney. And then that attorney then dropping me as a client, saying that I can't afford him no more because her attorney keep filing all this frivolous stuff and making the legal costs go up, and the court filings, you know, more court filings mean court costs go up. Right, trying every way that they could to get me to fold, man. And I almost did fold by killing myself. I did. I took some pills, man. I took some pills, and I just went to sleep, and I was hoping I didn't wake up. And I think it was my mom. I know it was my mom that found me in that state. And I woke up with a hell of a stomach ache. You know what I'm saying? So I've been where I think you've at and how you feeling, but guess what? I turn to meditation. I don't like to tell people how to find the creator through this religion or that religion, but I found the creator through a particular religion. I focused on what seemed to be truth to me, promises made by the creator. I did what the scripture told me to do. I took the money for the attorney and gave it to a church as a donation. We're talking about a couple of $1,000 as a donation, as a sacrifice, because I want to see some miracle kind of way that the creator gonna pull me out this mess, okay, that I did not create, except for I married a woman who very troubled woman, drugs was involved too, like you were talking about, you know. But I did nothing to injure. I mean, that's the lowest of the low, man. If they'd have set me up on that, they kill them type of people in prison. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking for a miracle. So I did my spiritual thing. Year later, here come my ex dropping off both my children with a suitcase at the crib. Then the courts making it official, making it legal. Black man, may he rest in peace, supreme judge over there. Because I live in a little rural county. Black people know black people. They know this judge, being a black person, he gonna know somebody that's related to me, given how old my family is here. So he know what's going on. The other judges, things that was going on, they saw what was real and what was not real. But I had to hang on, man. Imagine being in that state of mind, and then you ain't never been to law school, but then learning how you got to learn on the fly by going to the law library and just looking at the format of these, all these damn legal papers they give you. So this is how you file a motion. It got to be formatted like this. It's got to have this, that, and that. You got to take it to the clerk, get the stamp on it, get it on a, you know, I had to learn all of that, man. Cause remember, the lawyer dropped me. I didn't get another attorney. I gave that $2,000 to the church. So I learned all of this, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put a stop to this right now. It's, you know, I'm going to file a summary judgment. That's when stop all the nonsense, stop all the filing of the motions in these hearings, which is meant to just take up my time, take up the court's time, and what have you. There's enough evidence that has been entered into the record for a judge to make a summary judgment. I filed that joint and had this white judge, this white man, shook. And he told that white attorney, talking about, I can't rule on this. All of this in this motion, I can't. So, you know, it was on them then to make time for it. So they continued it for another date. But in the meantime, my kids is being dropped off to me by the person who technically in court never accused me of harming our daughters, because she never signed the motion that you're, not the motion, but I forget what it's called, but where you got to get a notary whenever you make a motion and it's making allegations against somebody, and they're saying, she's saying this about me. Well, she has to sign an affidavit saying that these are her words, these are her allegations. That white cracker attorney did not include those in those filings. And I pointed all this stuff out, right? Imagine the pressure that I was under, man. Imagine the pressure that I was under. But getting back to when I did try to kill myself, technically I did by taking those pills. I took about 25 aspirin. I was that down, you know. But then when I woke up from that, you know, I just really started meditating and thinking about, damn, you're going to punk out on your daughters like that and leave them in a messed up situation like that where somebody really will harm them. You just going to go out like that, you know. And so I hung in there. And now, I have grandchildren by these daughters that I'm helping my daughters to raise. I raised them since second grade all the way up to graduating from high school, okay? But if I'd gave up, I'd have never realized none of that, none of that. So I'm just trying to say, man, you may not think you had that strength within you, but it's in you. It's in you, and you got to reach down, and you just got to, you know, pull it out. But we are human beings. This is nonstop pressure. So I definitely feel where you're coming from. I've been there. So you in my thoughts. You are in my prayer. So I want to go to first, you know, I got to kind of stay on target here with my broadcast, but I need to take a station identification break. But thank you, brother, for sharing that, because you don't know how many other people out there might be feeling that same damn way that you feeling. And if it's other people in our listening audience in that Milwaukee area, you know, man, we got to have support groups, man. That's another thing. You know what also got me through that during that period? I joined a support group for single fathers fighting for their kids. Well, I shouldn't say single fathers, because I was married seeking a divorce. But fathers who were being, you know, fathers are discriminated in custody court cases and stuff like that. So that's why, you know, I don't argue with people. Nobody can convince me a creator does not exist. I'm not going to share all the different spiritual experiences and confirmation that I received and all of that. But that right there against those eyes showed me there is a creator. Okay. And so I'm telling you, bro, there's a creator. Fight the good fight. Hang in there. Do not give up. All right. Let's go to, I'm going to take a station identification break, and then we'll come back on the other side and go to these callers. We're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, and I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
'70s, proclaiming that the era of racism was over, that people would no longer be judged based on their race or background in the 1870s. But do you know what happened in the 1870s? Blacks were disenfranchised. The votes were taken away. Black people were thrown physically out of state legislatures. Black people were terrorized from the voting polls and were not allowed to vote. Black people who had been buried in graveyards beside white folk, they had their bodies dug up and shipped somewhere else. In other words, you see, because you are integrated doesn't mean you cannot become disintegrated. And it took then 100 years, up to the 1960s and 70s, for black people to re-achieve again the things they had 100 years before. So there is no guarantee that because you have some kind of opportunities today, or because you're making some kind of progress today, that that progress is guaranteed to you.
All right, welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. I had to take a pause there for a second, but we are back broadcasting from digital airwaves of Black Talk Radio Network. Visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Let's go to the phone lines. 754, your line is on unmuted. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, what's going on, Scotty?
I'm surviving, bro. How are you?
I know that's right. I'm doing the same thing, man. I had an incident today at work. Typical plantation environment, you know, of these corporations. You know, just you have to continue, fight the good fight, and just, you know, keep learning. I think education is a big tool in healing. You know, the spiritual healing, the mental healing. My heart went out to the brother, the last caller, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, not only do I feel his experience, you know, I know that area pretty well, that kind of like, I don't know, Milwaukee, Detroit, Cleveland, you know, that kind of that type of area, and it's different. It's different in the South, you know what I mean? It's different from other parts. You know, parts of the United States are different. We live different, speak different, and stuff like that. But, you know, it seems, almost to me, it seems colder. You know, it actually is colder in climate, but it seems colder as far as how we, I don't know, the connection of dealing with each other and getting to each other. It seems
disconnected. I think is a word that may be what you're searching for. We're disconnected from each other as human beings, and even as Black people.
Definitely, it's just a disconnection, and of course, it's growing with the ramping up of racism, white supremacy is growing. We're getting. It's more of a disconnect because we're more connected with other things that are negatively impacting us.
See, that's, you know, caller, if I may interject there, because I'll forget, and I put this in the description, but the last caller also brought up, he's, you know, the story about Jamila Horton wrote and saying Steph Curry being targeted. But he was just saying, you know, that's the distraction sports in general. And I feel where he coming from on that. But in terms of the disconnect among Black people, when we have these white media platforms which showcase Black people that are producing articles that they know are going to get a lot of headlines because of the historic nature of this sports event, and then you use that opportunity to accuse Black men of attacking other Black men, and then when I listen to the podcast and I read a transcript of your words, you provide no evidence whatsoever that any Black man is targeting or dislike or not getting along with another Black person or with Steph Curry because he light skinned. You know, but see, feelings don't cut it when you got that kind of power, when you given that kind of position, and you're gonna use it to sow seeds of disharmony and disunity among Black people and distract us from major issues or whatnot. Steph Curry hung around the game afterwards. After he lost the finals, he hung out on the court. I think it was another player, Draymond Green, as well. If there was any kind of beef between the Black men on opposing sports teams, do you think Steph Curry would have hung out while they were celebrating and doing their media interviews just to congratulate LeBron James and some of the other members? If there was any kind of real animosity between these brothers?
Of course not. they, you know, just, I heard you speaking before about, you know, your basketball experience. I played basketball as well. I played all the, mostly through high school. I played a little bit in college, played semi-pro. I even made it's a bad thing, you ask me, but I got a name in prison. I had a name in Florida Department of Corrections for being a good basketball player no matter where I go. And on any level, on every level. You know, I played in Charlotte, the old Charlotte Hornets arena. I played there. Every level. We always, if you ask me, we all hate each other. My coach used to say, and I'm gonna give detail to what I'm saying. My coach used to always say, I don't care who it is. Anybody that gets across from you on that court, they are your enemy. You ought to take them out. Not, you know what I'm saying, hurt them and all that stuff there. You have to take them out on the game. You have to take it there, that
mindset,
competitive spirit. It has to get a viciousness, like an edge to it. So we understood that. It was never nothing, as you said, before the game, we talking smack, but we slapping hands. We slapping each other backs, you know what I'm saying? Good game.
Yeah.
During the game, it looked like we about to fight against each other. After the game, no problem. Nothing whatsoever.
Well, it'll be some trash talking about how we whooped y'all butt last year for the championship or something like that.
Exactly. And that's all it is. And then, you know, all of us are friends because you got to – what she didn't say, and as a tool, she's being used as a tool, excuse me, for racism. We know what it is, but it means she's being used as a entertainment tool for white media, for white people's press, white people's politics and stuff like that. She's being used because she's not saying, okay, it might seem like, you know, it's a dark-skinned, light-skinned thing.
But it's not
but
really.
But I forgot to mention that these guys play summer league basketball all year. The game, you play basketball on each other's team all year. They go to each other's cities and support each other in that way all year. They play Olympics on the same team. They train with each other, for God's sake. And, you know, that's one of the hardest things to do is train with somebody you don't like or you don't care for. You know, basketball, because it's like, man, I can't really, you know what I'm saying, get off on them and do them how I want to, but I got to train, but I got to build with them. So I think the more we have media outlets and all that, the more I think we are, it's working the process and they keep us lined up, because left to their devices, man, we'll all be team light skin, team dark skin,
right.
team short hair, team long hair. All a bunch of nonsense to keep our focus divided from the one true fact. It's a system put in place to keep us down, hurt us, kill us, keep us in bondage, and that's about it. If you ain't fighting that, you know, if you don't have anything to do with that main thing, everything else is propaganda, nonsense, entertainment.
Right, right. Well, I want to thank you for your call, man. We got another caller. I want to move on to them, and you were kind of breaking up, but we heard you clearly. The last 30 seconds. But what was that, Sid?
My bad.
That's okay. All right, man. Well, thanks for calling in. Chime in again.
No doubt, Scotty. Peace out. I said.
Peace. All right, let's go to the...
Hello?
Yes, caller, you are on air.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. Hopefully you're having a good day. I was calling because I heard the gentleman in Milwaukee, and I'm sorry he's having these issues, because we all have in certain capacities. But I was kind of looking online, because sometimes you do need to talk to a mental health specialist about these issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just have to. So it was this website I found. It's called Live and Work Well. It's all one word, Live and Work Well. And you can find a mental health, you know, clinician or someone to help you. And you can sort it by ethnicity. So you can find like a black person to help you. And then according to this website, they have 26 people, 26 African Americans in the Milwaukee area. So if someone needed to talk, you know, not everyone wants to go to church or the mosque or whatever, you know.
Give that information out again, please.
Live and Work Well. All one word. LIVE AND WORK WELL.com. And I found it through just going through the health insurance, I just picked one, United Health Insurance.
Okay.
I just picked one. And so, and I know one of the callers on one of the other shows say, like, if you want to make sure you look for a black person, sometimes if you can look by language and pick Swahili, more likely than not, that's at least an African person.
Mm-hmm.
Usually a black person, or maybe Creole or some language that you know, that you know is spoken by black people. More than likely you can get a black person if you can't pick ethnicity, as you can in this case. And I think this website is helpful all over the nation. I just picked Milwaukee because that person I think who called, he was from Milwaukee.
Okay, so you can search by region, right? They have a search engine.
Hello?
Do they have a search engine? Is that what you're saying? They have a search engine on the site where they can identify resources in your area?
Yes, they live and work well. Find a provider. I get in the, and I think this one is specifically for mental health. So okay. I just kind of looked it up.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's hard when you're by yourself and you feel like you can't talk to somebody. And at the minimum, if you go to this person, you could take some of the information that we've heard on the radio station to see if they kind of have an idea about it. That way you can kind of clear them out without having to give them all your information. Now, did you read about this amendment? Do you see how this is going to affect black people? I think it's going to have a negative effect on us.
What
and
amendment?
If they look crazy, keep on moving.
What amendment are you talking about that you say you think is going to hurt us?
The Fourth Amendment that you talked about.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
you
ma'am.
Know, if you go to the because this person should be aware, not just mental issue, but everything that's going on and how it can affect, you know, black people.
Right.
If you claim to help black people. You know, stuff like that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You're welcome. That's all. Have a good day.
You too. All right, I have posted that to our Facebook page. That is liveandworkwell.com. You can just go there, but also shared it on our Black Talk Radio Network Facebook page. And so had on the site, it had you could join. You could even join as a guest, and it looks like you have to do that to register. To order to be able to utilize the other stuff, like find a provider, get care and services, and you could contact them. So thank you, caller, for sharing that important resource, because I certainly was not thinking about suggesting something like that. And, you know, my initial reaction to that is to say, to empathize with them and say, I've been there, and give my testimony that I've been from the, you know, on the lowest low. You don't get no lower than something like being accused of something like that. And then it being, why you seeking, man, I tell you, man, I've been there. So, I mean, mental health is important. It is important. And nobody should feel like, you know, that we're not being men or we're not being women. When you're constantly being terrorized, constantly being targeted, if you're paying attention and not being distracted and you see all this bad news, like the Supreme Court decision is going to result in more people in slavery with slave catchers setting them up and breaking rules, knowing that, hey, even if they rule my stop is illegal, I still get to see you in slavery for these drugs, then I'm a plan on you or whatever it is, man. That's why H-Rap Brown said they laws keep us down. And you don't want to say don't respect the law, don't, you know, do this, don't do that. These are the rules of society when there apparently are no, there are two separate rules, and we've always known that. And it's based on race to a very, very, very lesser extent based on your socioeconomic conditions. OJ would have been convicted and not been able to prove reasonable doubt if he didn't have the resources to hire great attorneys. Then he got a luck of the jury pool draw of people who were able to convince the white person or white people that was on the jury that, hey, this is enough for reasonable doubt. We're going to go by the letter and spirit of the law. The glove didn't fit. Mark Furman's a racist. LAPD has a racist history of corruption and setting people up. So there, reasonable doubt has been raised. But 9 times out of 10, I would say black people who go through that system don't have those kind of resources, and we end up in slavery, unless there's some kind of miracle, of course, unless we rely on not just on what we can see, but those things we can't see, and we rely on spiritual principles and laws, and we put our faith to the test. Sometimes, you know, it's not about putting your faith to the test, but it's about life testing your faith. So let me see, I want to take another station identification break. Do one, because I thought this is important about Yvette Carnell, and we talked about the distraction. Well, why is the distraction? Again, a lot of black people, I would say the majority of black people, do get their news and information from social media, from Twitter, from Facebook, and they go to these websites that may or may not be owned by black people. But we can say that what these websites have in common is they target black people. So if we want to talk about what black people are, how black people are being distracted, we need to identify the problem accurately. And we just can't say because black people is stupid or black people is ignorant and they don't think other things as important. No, media controls the minds of the masses. There are different types of media targeting black people that, you know, and other types of media that's targeting white people. Sometimes they mix it in, but, you know, maintaining the system is always the goal. So, but we want to take a look at some of what this Pew research study uncovered in terms of these four, what they identified as news sources, right, that's targeting black people. We'll talk about those on the other side. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. Before I do that, let me clear the caller's queue. If the
Q&A queue is cleared,
anybody else has any commentary or resources to share before we go off air, hit *6 and 1. Let me take a short station identification break. We'll be right back.
I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
All right, welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. So, you know, Yvette Carnell on Facebook said, as the Supreme Court guts the Fourth Amendment and normalizes the practices that led to mass incarceration, LeBron James is trending on Facebook. Again, it's not LeBron James' fault that he's trending on Facebook. Sports is part of history. People, millions of people follow it. But, you know, it's not LeBron James' fault. He's doing a lot of good with that money and attention and celebrity. Just ask a whole bunch of people in Northeast Ohio and whatnot. So, but it is still a valid question, you know. So what is media targeting black people talking about today. Let's go ahead and go to the website of The Root. Just going to go to the front page. What's important? You know, what are people seeing? All right, politics. Hillary Clinton leans into her white womanhood. Obama had to transcend race. A note from Team Light-Skinned, stop it already. A note from Team Light-Skinned, stop it already. See, going back to that nonsense from CBS Radio and ESPN. The cast of OWN's new black church drama, Greenleaf, reveals why this might be the best thing on TV right now. 10 things you could say about LeBron if you still want to hate him but have run out of things to say. LeBron James quiets the haters and cements his legacy. Watch LeBron make the most important block of his career. 5 ways the Game of Thrones pre-finale was more satisfying than the NBA Finals. Let's look at the breaking news section. Authorities arrest 3 suspects in van with guns and ammo near NYC's Holland Tunnel. British man accused of planning to kill Donald Trump at rally. Freddie Gray case, closing arguments, complete verdict expected Thursday in Cesar Goodson Jr. trial. White Pennsylvania TV anchor fired after racial comments, files federal discrimination lawsuit. Chicago police launch internet investigation after Facebook video shows officer punching a man. L.A. district attorney drops charges against University of Alabama football players. Mama affluenza teen gets bond conditions relaxed so she can look for a job. And judge to read officer. And it goes on and on. I could go on and on. I don't see any story about this Supreme Court decision that's going to give power, more power, to the slave catchers to put more people into slavery, even when they use illegal tactics, unconstitutional tactics, racist tactics, to stop you while you walking, while they ain't got no business stopping you while you walking. And even though the court agrees that they shouldn't have stopped you while you're walking, they're still putting you into slavery because you had an outstanding warrant, because you didn't pay these tickets, you was behind on child support. All right, so it goes on and on and on. I'm a pretty fast reader, so I'm getting the benefit of the doubt or be thorough. And I don't see a darn thing. I'm all the way at the bottom of the website now with a whole bunch of stories now. Nothing about the Supreme Court decision. So, but we got a lot of LeBron. That's why LeBron is trending on Facebook, especially if it's among black people. Let's go to news1.com. Roland Martin has a constructive and I would say much needed television program, and so I'm not commenting on his television program. I don't know what he'll be talking about when he does his TV News1 TV show. He has a radio show, and so these things may come up on the very few terrestrial black radio stations. He may bring it up. Somebody might bring it up on his station. I don't know, because, you know, we produce some media over here. So anyway, I go to news1.com. Again, this is one of the 4 sites identified in a Pew Research study as, according to people who study media, as news sources, not gossip, you know, gossip or anything like that, not sports related. These are news sites. Excuse me. So the first thing I see is, looks like, you know, they changed up their website. I was happy about that, because every time I would go to news1.com, it would tend to lock up my browser. So it looks like they may have installed install WordPress, most used content management system on the planet. If you need to hook up on WordPress management, want to turn it into your own podcasting platform and broadcasting platform, Black Talk Media Project can help you with that for as low as $50 a month. I'm sorry I had to go ahead and let y'all know about that service. But News1, first thing I see on their site, shameful. On Monday evening, the Senate failed to move the vote on 4 gun measures forward after the deadliest shooting in the nation's history. So here's a black website continuing the white lies about the worst, deadliest shooting in the nation's history. excuse me, got something caught in my throat. I apologize. Next story. No charges filed in Kendrick Johnson death. Latest story section. What should Hillary Clinton do? Pennsylvania Congressman Chaka Fattah convicted of racketeering. On a side note, I keep seeing all of these politicians and whatnot. They got them cops in NYC that's connected to Jewish businessmen that are connected to Mayor de Blasio and raising all that money. I've been seeing a lot. They got the Charlotte mayor a year or so ago and what have you. I'm not so quick to think Hillary Clinton is going to get through this unscathed. They just got too much on her. Anyway, continuing on. Next headline. Hey, FLOTUS, the first lady, joins Snapchat. Fed closes probe in the civil rights era's death. Just says they closes. I don't know the details on that. Questions arise over DOJ's failure to file charges. BLM activist Jasmine Richards is free. I guess that's the black woman from California they convicted on the lynching charges. GOP lawmaker files measure against Tubman's $20 bill. Police, and it goes on and on. So, you know, let me get to the section that just says politics. Well, if I click on view all, it's going to take me to that section. Let me just see if it's at least on that section talking about this Supreme Court decision. I'm going through Trump fires campaign manager by clearance. He will turn 68 on, talking about his birthday. Obama makes politics look easy, something like that. Dems force gun control vote. Obama hammers Trump. Again, man, nothing thus far. They buried this story that is so important, that Yvette Carnell did rightfully point out. This is trending. This is what the media is pushing. So at least we didn't get a whole bunch of LeBron stories on that. So what's the next one? The Griot. I think the Griot was recently bought out by a black man who runs the largest black media conglomeration of companies in America or the world, and that would be Byron Allen, would be the answer. Let me see, that's saying News One. That's not what I clicked on. Did I put the wrong link in there? Okay, I'm gonna have to type in thegriot.com, so I'm gonna have to go back and change that. Griot.com. Let's see if we get any front page story about the Supreme Court decision and no criminal charges in Jim Matt death of Kendrick Johnson. And again, I'm not saying any of these stories aren't front page worthy, but we're talking about power being given or a wink and a nod being given to slave catchers that, hey, even if you botch the initial arrest, if they already got warrants or whatnot, then guess what? We can still use that evidence that was illegally obtained. Man poses a cop, enters Cincinnati mosque to yell, "Jesus is Lord." Karate instructor allegedly sent nude pictures to 11-year-old boy. Man arrested for hammer attack, shouting racial slurs at black men. Anchor woman claims she was fired because she's white. Reality. So let me keep going. Opinions: how fatherhood taught me to become a Superman. Gladys Knight's chicken and waffle restaurants raided. The absent black father, America's favorite scapegoat. Mourning all over again. Charleston, Orlando. I'm just going to jump down, people. You can go there yourself. Let me see. J.R. Smith breaks down talking about his father at the NBA championship win. Clarence Thomas may retire after elections. LeBron reigns again. Cleveland takes title. Man. So I mean, I'm almost at the bottom of the page. No stories about that very important news story from the Griot. Now, I did find one on the last one. Then again, the Pew Research said other researchers identified these as strictly news sources. None of them had a story about the Supreme Court decision. So I'm on the last one. HuffingtonPost.com /Black Voices/. So we know this is a white-owned platform. It's obvious. But so was the Grio until it was bought out by Byron Allen's company, 100% black-owned media, and the other ones as well. So Zoe still doesn't get it. That's the top story about Zoe Zaldana, well, however you say her name, the actress, how black communities could better help sickle cell patients. Airbnb alternatives want to make travel better for black folks. Police report Michael Jackson stockpiled child porn and animal torture photos. Trump, no chance in hell with black millennial woman. FLOTUS on how she went from Southside Chicago to the White House. What makes a person truly black? The complicated intersection of genetics and race. I mean, I'm just jumping forward. I think I know where I finally get. About a quarter of the page way down, the Supreme Court just ruled in favor of the police state, and Sonia Sotomayor is not having it. That's it right there, folks. So you want to know why sports or any other topic is trending on social media, which black people use, you know, more disproportionately than other people for various reasons? But that's why LeBron James is trending and not Supreme Court's decision to give slave catchers a wink and a nod that, hey, I see more slaves captures in your near future using, you know, this ruling. So that's why we exist, people. That's why we exist. That's why it is important that we fund our own media. We have to build, we have to fund our own media. Again, you know, if you one of those people, okay, you don't want to do it for the people, or you do it for the people, you want to do it for the people, but you got to be able to make a living off of it too, at least to recoup your resources. Well, I have a business model for you. You can get your services from our nonprofit, we'll build the website for you. The podcasting website, video casting website. You upload your videos, whatever. Do your live radio streaming if you want to do that. And just build this website to focus on that city that you're in, that you know is devoid of black independent media, devoid of real, genuine black voices and what have you. And then, you know, if you learn by getting my manuals and whatnot, you learn how to engineer the radio programs for other people, then you can charge those people who don't have the time, are not technically inclined as you are, and they will pay you because you have built up a valuable property in that region, okay? It will probably be more successful than a network we're running where we're global. So you can make money with this if that's your concern or whatnot. And you can support yourself running a digital independent, not only black radio station, podcast and platform, while fulfilling a need. Because as we can see, that when other people who don't have black people, the masses of black people, first and foremost, their health and welfare in their minds, that we know what kind of media we're going to get. We know what we're going to get. I just gave it to you. I just answered Yvette's question. Why, you know, or not her question, but, you know, she looked a little more in depth into her statement. Why is LeBron James trending when this is very serious? This has to do with modern slavery. She called it mass incarceration, but I call it mass slavery, mass enslavement. This is very important. I agree. But this is the answer to why he's trending, because that's what all these black media websites is pushing. Then you throw in the white media, the stuff that's just targeting everyone that's not, you know, sports. It's only sports related, so it's not targeting anyone specific, except for sports fans. So all that's why LeBron James is trending. But while black people are not informed about important issues going on, well, there's your reason. And even though they were informing them about some important stuff, but not that Supreme Court decision. And maybe they'll get around to it in the next 3 days. Maybe they won't. So anyway, that's my program for today. About to make way for a Tando Radio Show about to come on air. Brother Dave, of course, is on air from 6 to 8. It is Tuesday. I'm sure it's Tuesday because I checked this morning. It was Tuesday. All right. So I don't think there's any other live streaming on the network after Brother Dave. But certainly there's always going to be some kind of programming on air on the digital radio station, and or use the opportunity to check out many of the podcasts that you will find on blacktalkradionetwork.com. All right, recognize the fact that you do live behind the enemy lines. There's a war out there. There's a battlefield out there. You have to take the necessary precautions to, you know, try to reduce the likelihood that you will become a casualty, you know. In a war zone, man, you could be following it, everything right, and still, you know, run across a cluster grenade or something like that from one of these cluster bombs and just, you know, your casualty. Don't want to blame you, you know, but you do always want to take those precautions. And I know that plays into the stress that we feel, man, every day, man, and that's why we do have to seek time and, you know, and then also, man, we have to reach out to one another, man. We have to, you know, pull people up when they down, especially within our own family or within our own community. Let's not be so disconnected from each other. And this lot falls so easily when the enemy is trying to cause division among us where none exists because they want some clicks on a website. That's sick, man. So anyway, Tando Radio Show is coming up. This is Scotty Reed. Peace and blessings to all. I'm out.